All right, so we're diving into something pretty big today, no pun intended.
I see what you did there.
The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I bet some of you are thinking, oh, that old thing.
Right, like some ancient scroll.
But here's the twist. We're looking at the fourth edition, fresh off the presses, well, relatively, published in 2001.
Yeah, that's important to note. AA is not stuck in the past. They've actually kept this book evolving over time. The first edition came out way back in 39.
Wow, 1939. Talk about longevity. This book's been around longer than most of our grandparents.
Exactly. But they saw the need to keep things current, stay relevant, and this fourth edition proves they're willing to adapt while still holding on to those core principles that have helped millions.
30 million copies in circulation. That's not just a book, that's a phenomenon.
Absolutely. It speaks for itself.
But you know, what's really interesting to me is that it's not just a how-to manual on the 12 steps.
Right, there's so much more to it.
Yeah, I mean, the steps are definitely there, but you also get these raw personal stories, opinions straight from medical professionals, even advice for employers and families dealing with an alcoholic.
You're hitting on a key point there. It's like they knew early on that alcoholism doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Right, it ripples outward.
Exactly. It impacts everyone around the person struggling. And this broader perspective is what makes the big book so valuable.
Like a whole toolkit for understanding and dealing with alcoholism on all levels.
Absolutely, for the individual and everyone in their orbit.
Speaking of things that grab my attention, there's one chapter title, just the title, that made me go, whoa, what's that about?
Oh, which one?
Dr. Bob's Nightmare. Just those three words. You're instantly hooked.
Oh, yeah, that one pulls you right in.
I know, right? Makes you want to jump straight to that chapter.
It really gives you a glimpse into the early days of AA, focuses on one of the co-founders, Dr. Bob, a reminder that this whole movement wasn't just some intellectual exercise. It was born out of real human struggle.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting. We're talking 1939. Alcoholism wasn't exactly a well-understood condition back then.
Definitely not. There was a lot of stigma.
Exactly. So right there in the foreword, they have this letter from a medical doctor, Dr. William D. Silkworth, vouching for AA's effectiveness.
That's huge for the time. Imagine a respected physician coming out and saying, hey, these AA folks are onto something.
Especially because he specialized in addiction.
Right. He wasn't just some random doctor. Dr. Silkworth treated what they considered hopeless cases back then, so his word carried serious weight.
It challenged the prevailing views, helped legitimize addiction as a disease, not just a moral failing, which is what a lot of people thought back then.
Yeah, his endorsement was a game changer for AA's credibility.
Okay, now this next part really threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
The book compares alcoholism to, get this, an allergy.
An allergy? Wow, that's not something you hear every day.
Right. It's like, wait, what? Not your typical way of thinking about addiction.
Now we have to remember the context, right? It's 1939. They weren't talking about a literal allergy like we understand it today.
So, no sneezing and runny noses involved.
Exactly. But what they were trying to get across was that for certain people, alcohol sets off this specific reaction, makes moderation impossible.
So it's not just a lack of willpower, there's something else going on.
It's almost like their body is wired differently, and alcohol just triggers this chain reaction they can't control.
And it's interesting because, in a way, that idea is not too far off from what modern neuroscience tells us about how addiction hijacks the brain's reward system.
Right. It's about how certain substances can completely rewire those pathways for some people. But that concept back then was way ahead of its time.
Definitely. So we've got allergies, we've got cutting-edge science, and then we get to another theme that pops up a lot, this idea of a higher power.
Yeah, that one can be a bit tricky for some folks, especially in today's world.
Definitely. But I think it's important to emphasize what the book actually says. They don't mandate a specific belief system, right?
Not at all. It's more about finding something greater than yourself, something that can provide a sense of purpose and support beyond your own willpower.
So it could be a traditional god, nature, even the AA community itself.
Exactly. Whatever helps the individual tap into that sense of surrender.
Surrendering control, recognizing you're not in this alone.
Yeah, finding that source of strength outside of yourself.
So let's say you're not struggling with alcohol. Is there anything in this book for you? And the answer is yes. There's a whole section outlining the 12 traditions of AA.
The guidelines for how the fellowship actually functions.
And some of these are pretty surprising. No fees, no dues, no formal leaders, and they don't get involved in outside causes or endorse things.
It's like they created this self-sustaining ecosystem. laser-focused on recovery and supporting each other.
Principles over personalities, right?
Exactly. And that's a big part of why AA has been so successful. These traditions keep them on track, free from outside influences or personal agendas.
They're all about the mission, pure and simple.
And that's a powerful model for any organization, really, but especially one dealing with something as complex as addiction.
And then there are the personal stories. I think that's what really makes the big book hit home. It's not just theory or philosophy. It's real people, in their own words, talking about what they went through.
Those stories are so powerful. They offer this sense of hope and possibility.
Yeah, like proof that recovery is attainable, even for those who feel like they've hit rock bottom.
Like having this chorus of voices saying, hey, if I can do it, so can you.
Exactly. It's a message we all need to hear sometimes, addict or not.
Absolutely. A reminder that we're not alone in our struggles, whatever they may be.
Yeah, it's like this collective voice of experience saying you're not alone. But before we get too far, I want to circle back to Dr. Silkworth for a minute. Remember, his letter wasn't his only contribution to the book.
Oh, right. Good point. He actually gave a much more detailed statement, too, where he really digs into the nature of alcoholism, like the nitty-gritty.
And what's wild is how much of what he said back then still holds up today.
It really does. It's like he was ahead of his time.
So what were some of those insights that were, like, groundbreaking for 1939?
Well, for one, he was adamant that alcoholism wasn't just a mental thing. It affects the body, too.
Makes sense, right? It's a physical substance.
Exactly. But back then, people didn't always see it that way. He even used that word allergy to describe the intense craving some people experience.
Like their body is straight up demanding the alcohol.
Yeah, and he was convinced that this craving, for some people, it could overpower anything. Self-preservation, love for family, even the desire to succeed.
Wow. So it wasn't just about willpower. It was something much deeper.
Right. And that was a radical concept back then, to acknowledge that addiction wasn't just a moral failing.
That a character flaw you could just snap out of.
Exactly. He was challenging those deeply ingrained societal views. And what's even more amazing is that he admitted, flat out, that the traditional treatments, they didn't work for these real alcoholics, as he called them.
So if willpower and therapy weren't the answer, what was?
Well, he didn't come right out and endorse AA, but he pointed to this need for a psychic change.
A psychic change? Sounds intense.
It is. He meant a complete shift in perspective and attitude. Like, intellectual understanding wasn't enough. The alcoholic needed this deep internal transformation.
And reading between the lines, it seems like he saw AA as a potential catalyst for that kind of change.
Oh, absolutely. He talked about witnessing these incredible recoveries in patients who had embraced the principles outlined in the big book.
Men who had lost everything, hit rock bottom, and yet they were able to rebuild their lives.
It's powerful stuff, and you can imagine how validating that must have been for those early AA members to have this respected doctor backing them up.
Like their experiences were finally being taken seriously.
Exactly. He was giving them legitimacy when so many others were dismissing them. And his closing line in that statement, it's a real call to action. He said, "I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book through, and though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray."
Wow, what a powerful statement.
Yeah.
It's like he's saying, don't knock it till you try it.
Right. Keep an open mind. You might be surprised by what you find. And I think that still rings true today.
The Big Book. Even decades later, it offers this message of hope.
It's a reminder that even in the darkest times, there's a way out, a path to recovery, a way to find a new sense of purpose.
And it all comes back to that idea of shared experience, mutual support.
Absolutely. Knowing you're not alone in this fight.
But it's not just about individual recovery, right? The Big Book also talks about applying those principles to other areas of life.
You're talking about the 12 traditions again?
Yeah, like those guidelines developed for AA. They actually have implications way beyond addiction.
That's what I find so fascinating. You've got principles like self-support, putting principles before personalities, focusing on a common goal.
They seem universally applicable.
Right. It makes you wonder, how often do conflicts arise because egos clash or we lose sight of the bigger picture?
All the time. At work, in families, even in our own personal growth.
It's human nature, right? But the 12 traditions offer this alternative way of approaching things.
Humility, service, a commitment to something larger than ourselves.
It's a powerful framework.
So could these principles, born out of the struggle with addiction, actually help us lead better lives overall?
It's definitely worth considering.
You know, speaking of things worth considering, remember that story title that grabbed my attention? Dr. Bob's Nightmare.
Oh, yeah, we can't leave without digging into that one.
It's time to see what wisdom it holds.
Let's dive in and explore that dark side of AA's history.
And see what lessons we can learn from it. You know, reading Dr. Bob's nightmare, it's hard not to feel like you're right there with him in those early days.
It's so raw, so honest, you really get a sense of what they were up against.
Especially those cravings, the way he describes them, even after he had some success with sobriety, it's like they just wouldn't let go.
That feeling of being powerless, it comes through so strongly in the story, and it's something we hear again and again throughout the big book.
It's almost like a universal experience for alcoholics that
Yeah.
struggle for control.
Absolutely. And I think that's why the story's so relatable, even all these years later. We all face those moments where we feel like we're at the mercy of something bigger than ourselves.
And for Dr. Bob, that something was alcohol.
Right. But what's interesting is how he found solace and strength through connecting with other alcoholics.
Like a lifeline.
Exactly. And it reinforces that core principle of AA, that you're not alone in this battle. There are people who understand, who've been there, who can offer support.
The sense of community, of shared experience, it's so powerful.
Absolutely. And you know, Dr. Bob's nightmare, it also touches on that spiritual aspect of AA, that need to connect with something larger than yourself.
The higher power we talked about.
Right. In the story, Dr. Bob's nightmare, it's not just about the physical craving for alcohol, it's about this deeper sense of emptiness, a spiritual void.
Like he's lost his way, his connection to something bigger.
Exactly. And that's why the idea of surrender is so crucial in AA. It's not about giving up, it's about recognizing that you don't have to fight this alone.
There's a power greater than yourself that can offer guidance and strength if you're open to it.
Absolutely. So we've delved into the big book, we've unpacked Dr. Silkworth's insights, we've even journeyed through Dr. Bob's nightmare. What does it all mean for the listener?
Yeah, even if you're not dealing with alcoholism, I think there are some pretty powerful takeaways here.
For sure. Think about the challenges you face in your own life, those areas where you feel stuck, powerless, alone.
Those moments when you just want to give up.
Right. The principles of AA, as we've seen in Dr. Bob's story and throughout the big book, they offer a different way of approaching those challenges. It's about finding support, connecting with something bigger than yourself, surrendering to a power greater than your own willpower.
It's about realizing that you don't have to go through it alone.
Exactly. And while those principles were forged in the fires of addiction, they have the potential to transform any area of our lives where we seek growth, healing, and connection.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, we want to leave you with this. Could embracing the idea of self-support, as emphasized in Dr. Bob's story, help you overcome a challenge you've been facing?
Could connecting with a supportive community or tapping into a power greater than yourself provide the strength and guidance you need?
These are questions worth pondering. Sometimes the most profound discoveries come from exploring seemingly unrelated territories. Thanks for joining us on this journey. We hope you found it insightful and maybe even a little bit inspiring.